Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn, blessed are we in the morning, blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the earth turning, blessed are we as the twilight descends, and the magic of dusk is upon us, and blessed are we in the dark of the night.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Green Magic, Green Medicine with your host Susan Weed. My name is Daniel Michael, and this is part 6 on our discussion of roots. So far, Susan has discussed dandelions, we've discussed Persephone and the wisdom of the underworld, burdock, and have even heard from the plants and roots themselves. So join us for another episode of Green Magic, Green Medicine with your host Susan Weed, right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. We will be back in just a second. Green Medicine. It must be Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time once again, and I see in the queue, I believe that is Susan there, and your microphone is now on. Welcome, Susan.
Green blessings. How are you?
I am a little exhausted.
But, what you been doing?
Lots of everything, and my work has picked up dramatically. You know, I started doing electrical work for myself and with other electricians as sort of 1099 as an independent contractor, and so business has picked up dramatically, and including everything else is still going on. Music, the band, the recording, trying to get the CD out, and everything else. And, of course, radio. 6 shows here on Main Street Universe.
Congratulations! Good for you. That's wonderful. I'm a great believer in multitasking. You know, my mentor, Jean Houston, she said, you know, we're going to rub our bellies and pat our heads. And that's kind of hard to do, but once we did that, she said, okay, now you're going to rub your belly, pat your head, and jump on one foot. And then we had to rub our bellies, pat our heads, jump on one foot, and recite the alphabet. And then we had to rub our bellies, pat our heads, jump on one foot, and recite the alphabet backwards. And it just kept getting harder and harder. Because she said that brain research shows that the human brain is capable of focusing on 7 plus or minus 2 things at any one time. And that we're going to be doing that anyhow, and so it should be within our control. And so that's what you're doing. You're focusing on 7 plus or minus 2 things at a time.
I believe so, unless I lost track of one.
Right? And it's kind of like, you know, have you ever seen like those Chinese plate jugglers? And they have, like, the sticks and the twirling plates. And, like, at the climax, they've got, like, what, 20 plates twirling around on sticks?
Yeah.
But how'd they get there?
They just...
One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, kept focusing.
One at a time, and they put their entire focus on that one until it was spinning, and then they could trust it. And so you're at the place where you start to really have to build trust in yourself.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are welcome. Let's see, last week, as you said, Burdock spoke to us. I always think of Burdock as a biker babe. And so this week, I'm going to take you on a Burdock weed walk. You know, one of the things that used to just like drive me kind of up the wall was I would read an herbal. And it would seem to me that all of this space in it was being wasted by describing the plant. And I thought it was just kind of like, you know, enough already. We know what rosemary is. Until I read about the work of Hildegard of Bingen, who was, for all that we, you know from contemporary reports, was an incredible herbalist. And she actually even took the time and effort to leave a legacy of, you know, written down what her remedies were. But we can't really use any of them because she called the plants by her own names and never described them, and we don't know what they are. So I realized when I was writing this book that I was going to have to write a description of the plant. And I wanted to save myself from the boredom that I experienced in those other books. So rather than just trying to be concise and saying, you know, it's a shrub, evergreen shrub with the lanceolate opposite leaves and flowers in the world, I thought, why don't we spend a little more time with it and really make it interesting? Because it's not just about the plant right then. It's also about where is the plant growing. And when I teach about plant language, the most important clues that we are getting from the plants when they're speaking to us and letting us know how we can use them is where they're growing. So, you know, putting the holism back into healthcare means not just looking at the plant as a drug with a green coat on, but really looking at it as a living entity. In fact, as our ancestors, the plants were here far, far before we were. And so truly, they are our ancestors. And to honor and acknowledge the plants as our ancestors and as sentient beings who have a lot to say to us, as Burdock did last week. So let's go on a Burdock weed walk. Hey, look at those glorious fall colors. Let's go for a walk. Let's go down to that abandoned farm. We'll harvest some burdock roots and seeds. Grab a sweater. It'll be chilly by the time we start back. Let's take spading fork and these bags, the hand trowel or a couple of them, and gloves too. We're going to need them all. Burdock roots are hard to dig out. I'll tell you how hard burdock roots are to dig out. One of my past apprentices, when she left, went home to her community, which was an inner city community, and she started a community garden. She found a vacant lot that she was allowed to use, and she and a bunch of children ranging in age from like 6 to 15 worked really, really hard on getting this kind of really junky place ready to become a garden. And it wasn't like paved over. It wasn't that kind of junky. Just a lot of junk had been thrown in there. So there were a lot of weeds, including burdock, growing there. And she sent me pictures because they dug up the burdock roots so that they can make medicine of them. And they wanted to remove them from the places that they were making into gardens. And she sent me pictures of some of the 6 and 7 year olds standing in the holes that they had dug to liberate the burdock roots with just their noses and eyes and the tops of their heads showing above the holes, because burdock root can grow deep, deep, deep. And let me continue reading from my green book, Healing Wise. There's lots of burdock here along the way, but we'd never stand a chance of digging it up from this roadside. No more chance than I'd had if I tried to harvest the biggest burdock plant I ever saw in Toronto, growing out of a crack between the cement sidewalk and the brick building. There was a flowering burdock higher than my head and wider than my arms could stretch. Burdock is a biennial. That means that it's a plant that takes 2 full years to complete its life cycle. Look, down here. See, these are the first year plants. These are the ones that we're going to be digging the roots of. They have leaves, but they don't have any flower stalks. They're going to have flower stalks next year, and then they'll look like these plants over here, right? They're filled with burrs, and those burrs are the receptacles of the seeds of the plant, flowers, and then leaves behind those burrs. The burry second-year plants are nearly dead now. And look, we can just pull it right up out of the ground. All of the life has gone out of that root. As a matter of fact, I think of it as kind of turning inside out and going up into the seed. So since we've come to harvest burdock, we can harvest some burdock seed as well from the second year plants. The first year plant develops such big leaves, enormous really, that it's easily mistaken for rhubarb, because that's the biggest leaf plant that most people are familiar with. And indeed, it has kind of reddish, purplish leaf stalks, and that adds to the mistaken identity. But look, turn the leaf over, and you see how it's dense and white on the undersurface of the leaf? Rhubarb is not. It's shiny on the back. And rub your fingers on the leaf, right? And then taste them. Woo! That's bitter, huh? That bitter taste left on your fingers. That'll tell you it's burdock. Rhubarb does not taste bad like that. It tastes sour, but not bitter. All right, we're going to go down this dirt road. Look, see how much bigger the burdock gets as we get past the roadside and down toward the river, where the soil is richer and wetter. Ooh, we could stop here. We could dig some burdock root here. The burdock root develops by growing straight down, and it sends out a lateral holding root wherever there's an anchor. So, you know, that burdock seed sprouts, and it sends out that radical. And that radical grows down, 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 straight down, until it finds something like a rock or a root in the soil. And then it sends out a lateral root, one that goes sideways. The root continues to grow down, but it also has this lateral root, and that lateral root anchors it. Plus, look, if you try to pull the burdock leaf off, it just breaks off, so you can't, like, pull up that first-year root. You have to dig, and you have to dig a lot to harvest burdock roots. Now, as you remember, we sat and meditated with the burdock to broadcast our intention to them. And again, before we left on this walk, we thought about the burdock, and we sent our thoughts ahead to them and told them that we were coming and we were going to dig up their roots and use them for medicine. So let's begin without any further ado. Today's excellent day for digging medicinal roots. The frost last night signal the plants to put energy down into the roots, and the new moon strengthens that flow down and in. I've been harvesting burdock roots to eat since the middle of July, but I waited until now to harvest them for medicine. The tincture we make from this burdock will be good for drawing out fluids, whether that's urine, sweat, menses, inflammation, infection. And yes, I'll probably come back next spring. This is such a big patch of burdock to get more of these roots for my spring soup. And if I need to, more for tincture, although their energy and their medicinal value won't be nearly as strong in the spring as they are now. As with most roots, we can harvest early in the spring and get pretty much the same effect as we'd get by harvesting late the year before. This plant looks healthy. Look at that. These leaves are as long as my arm and nearly as wide, too. Gray-green and kind of broadly wavy on the edge, undulating, wouldn't you say? Now, the size of the leaves does not tell the size of the root, but I suspect that this one will be worth our efforts. Sometimes I've seen burdock leaves really small, and when we dig the root up, it's an enormous burdock root down there. Notice how the older leaves have a kind of rough texture, and the young leaves are more velvety, smooth, and fuzzy. And see how the fuzz comes off those leaves down onto the leaf stalk, the petiole. Once we dig up the root, we'll take the leaves off, and we'll cut off those leaf stalks, those petioles, and we'll take those home to leaving the leaves to decompose here, which they do very, very fast to return their nutrients to the soil where the burdock was growing. Here we go. Let's dig up the first burdock root. Take the spading fork now and start in the east and make a plunge straight down with your spading fork right next to the root here. I'll hold the leaves up and away for you. These big leaves help us know that this is great burdock, Arctium lapa. See here in the petiole how it's grooved with a U-shaped groove on top of the petiole. And if we break it here, break this one off, right? See, it's solid on the inside. That's Arctium lapa. And over here, this one is Arctium minus. But spading fork in the ground for a minute and come right over here. This is a smaller burdock plant, and check out the leaf stalk. Look at that. It's hollow. There's still like a little groove on the top, but it's almost like the groove became the hollowness. And on the Arctium minus, the flowers don't have stalks. Well, as we might as well come back over here and start digging again. On the great burdock, the Arctium lapa, the flowers actually come up on little stalks. Well, you know what? It doesn't really make that much difference because essentially they are the same plant and they're used in exactly the same way. But, you know, botanists, we get into these kinds of things. And, yeah, of course, there's interbreeds, too. And there's at least 8 different distinct interbreeds of the two burdocks already recognized. But they're all burdock or gobo. Call it what you will. It's a stubborn root. How's that stubborn root coming along? That's good. Get that spading fork down there in the east and wiggle it around, and then move it to the south and wiggle it around to the west and wiggle it around in the north, and then let's go in with our hand forks. Here we go. Here we go. That's good work. That's good work. Now, you know, if a shovel would cut through the root, and so that's why we're using the spading fork. So as you're going down with the spading fork, go straight down, and then rock that spading fork from side to side. That's right. Now, go around and loosen up the soil, and then we'll dig it out with the hand force, and then go around and loosen it again, around and around. Okay, how far down do you think we are? Down a couple of inches on the root? Take a look. We're just to the very beginning of the root, to the leaf base. Isn't that quite the trick that burdock has, keeping itself so well buried that the first several inches of digging only bring us to the top of the root. Let's get that spading fork here and go around a few more times. All right. Keep going. We'll still work with you with our little hand trowels and our little forks, getting the soil out as you do that. Look, here's the first lateral. You see? It goes off to the side and under probably a rock since the soil is so rocky. Let's see. Can we pull it loose? Ah. Now we're not going to try to pull the whole big root. We're just going to see if we can pull the lateral loose. Oop, I broke it. Here, smell it. Earthy, open, cool, and faintly aromatic. Deep, deep, slow. Yes, yes. Have a taste. Here, have a taste. We'll swipe off the dirt with your fingers. Do you like it? It's such a surprise to find the root so sweet after tasting the bitterness of the leaves, isn't it? That piece that stayed in the ground will grow a new plant next year, so I guess I'm glad that it broke off. The young root is entirely white when it sprouts, but as it grows, the outer layer attains a dark brown to black coloration, which in the second year becomes actually a thick and distinct layer. You know, we were talking about digging up burdock root next spring, and even by next spring, that layer will have started to develop, and that's called a root bark. Under that, the burdock root is always beautifully striated white with a dense inner core. Okay, we're down just about as far as we can reach, and we haven't come to the end of this burdock root, have we? Whew. Get your feet here in the hole with me and hold on to the root. Get your hands way down now. Help me envision the burdock root loosening from the earth and giving away its firmness, its wholeness, and its abundance. Now gently, slowly pull. Pull. Feel it, yes. Pull. And that's it. We got it. All right. Thank you, burdock. The roots that we leave undisturbed are going to have flower stalks next year. And so we have to be certain to leave enough roots to ensure an ongoing supply of burdock. As a matter of fact, I want to leave enough so that I can harvest flower stalks next summer. So I want to leave a double amount, because once I harvest the flower stalks, they won't be able to make any seeds. So I want to leave enough to make the seeds and leave enough for me to harvest those flower stalks. But there's certainly enough for us to start to dig another burdock root. You know, the burdock stalk is said to be the choicest edible on the whole planet, both because the flavor is so good and because the effort involved in harvesting is so minimal. So the easiest, tastiest part of the burdock is the flower stalk. When I was very young and just had a few books to read in my early 20s about plants, I was out where there was a burdock just at the right stage to harvest the flower stalk, and I remembered from reading that the flower stalk was really, really good to eat. Well, it was pretty big, because remember, burdock can be really tall, especially the Arctium lappa. So I thought, wow, you know, I don't know if I, you know, want to carry all of this home. I was with my young daughter, and there was a likelihood I would be carrying her as well. So I thought to myself, now I wonder what part of it, because there's probably some part of it I should eat. And so I thought, well, you know, it's usually the tender tips of something that you eat. And so I just broke off the tender tips and took that back. But, well, I was wrong. It was actually the stalk itself. All right? The big stalk. I was really flummoxed when I got home and checked my books and found out that what I had left behind was the very best part to eat. In fact, the parts that I broke off, I could have left there and taken the big stalk back with me, peeled it, and cooked it. It's too late this year for gathering stalk. See, the burdock stalk is best before there are even flower buds. And sometimes seems like it takes only a few days for those burdock stalks to grow from absolutely just a thought down there to up to shoulder high. And the bigger the burdock gets, the bigger a knife you are going to need to cut it. That stalk can be tough down near the earth, in places where people make war against burdock and cut it off repeatedly, the stalk will still keep coming back, branching furiously and even flowering at ground level if need be. Have you seen burdock flowers? Well, imagine little purple thistle flowers on top of prickly round seed capsules. Right, those burdock burrs. Imagine a little purple flower on that, like a little purple crown, like on a thistle, with all these little purple, like little fingers sticking up from there. And then imagine that instead of it being that, like, brown hooky thing, that it's green, like a fuzzy purple ball on a denser fuzzy green ball, and all those little hooks that you can see here on the mature seed pod, they're there on the green ball, but they're still flexible, and they won't hook onto you yet. The green burdock burrs won't disintegrate when you handle them, but the ripe brown ones do. So the green ones are a lot of fun to play with. You can make pretend characters from them and put on shows with them. And my younger friends, my granddaughter, and the fairies really like it when I do that. The leaves on the flower stalk are different from these basil leaves that you see. The basil leaves have wavy borders, and they're big, nearly heart-shaped, and they have long leaf stalks called, you remember, petioles. The leaves on the flower stalk next year are going to be much more oval, much, much smaller, some no bigger than your little finger, and sans petiole, without the petioles, and they won't be wavy either. Look, here, see this, where this one old second-year plant, you can kind of dry it up from the frost, but you can kind of see how little it is. Late autumn, in the second year of its life, the great burdock is dead. The seed-filled burrs are brown and ready to break away from the stalk when barely touched. Leaves are withered. Even the sturdy root can be wrested from its earth socket, for it is shrunken and ready to let go its grasp. Here, try it. Tug on it a little bit. Envision it coming loose. Yeah, we could wish the first-year plants could be removed with so little effort, but look how withered and rotten this is. All the good stuff in it is in the seeds now. Oops! Looks like you've already started to gather the burrs. You're going to find it much more convenient to put them in a bag than sticking them to your arms and legs and back and hair like that. Okay, I'll help you get them out. Ready to go? Well, you know, we still have a lot of work ahead of us at home, and I want to take the long way back through the woods. The burdock harvest isn't perishable, so we can afford to dawdle and enjoy autumn. Once home, we'll jump up and down on our bags of burdock burrs, or roll them with a rolling pin to loosen the seeds, and then we'll sieve out the little fiberglass-like white hairs intermingled with the seeds. We could let a pan of water be our sieve, too. The hairs float and the seeds sink. But we wouldn't want to do that with the seeds that we're going to use to put up hair oil. We could do it for the ones that we're going to put up in vodka, though. I've kept the seeds dried once, but they hatched out crawly, wiggly things, so I decided that was probably not the best thing to do. And then, of course, we have to scrub up the roots and tincture those, too. But all of that work is for later. Now it's for enjoying this exquisite afternoon in the woods. Look, the sunset is already starting to tint the clouds. How beautiful. Look at those colors. Ah, how abundant our lives here are on the earth. Doesn't it make you happy to be alive?
Yes. And it is my favorite time of year as well.
Yeah. Well, once again, our time has passed so quickly.
Yes, it has.
But it's like that when we're out walking in the woods. If you want more, please come and visit me at susanweed.com. If you want the green book I'm reading to you from, Healing Wise, come to wisewomanbookshop.com. And if you want more direct interaction with me, look at my correspondence courses at the Wise Woman Bookshop, or come on over to wisewomanmentor.com. GeneHouston.com, and let's develop a mentorship relationship. Once again, my great thanks to you, Daniel, and to Main Street for having me here and giving me this opportunity to share with everybody my passion, my belief that herbal medicine is people's medicine. It's the medicine right outside our doors.
Enjoy the earth turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends, and the magic of dusk is upon us. And blessed are we in the dark of the night, as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed.